This morning, a verse of a passage of Scripture was read, and I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but I want to read from Good News for Modern Man. And I want you to look at this whole passage this week. It's 1 Corinthians 12, the whole chapter. Now, don't try to follow now. Listen, okay? Now, the matter about gifts from the Holy Spirit, then he goes on to talk about what they are. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to everyone for their service. And then verse 11. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this. He gives a different gift to each man as he wishes. Now you can read in that passage what Paul says the gifts of the Spirit are. And some of us have spent the past year or two, because of the charismatic movement, feeling we're not spiritual because we can't speak in tongues. We have been so busy pursuing another gift, we have failed to use the gifts we have. Maybe this morning you just need to look and very simply look at the gifts God's given you. Let me name some of them. I think your intellect, your mind. Maybe you have leadership ability. Maybe you have the ability to challenge other people. Maybe you have the ability to lead other people. Maybe you have musical ability, and you can write, or you can sing, or you can play. Maybe you can speak. Maybe you can work with small children. Maybe it's entertaining. Maybe working with old people. Maybe just being a friend. Maybe being sensitive to other people. What about the gift of life? The very gift of life. What about the gift? And I really get weary with some of the commercials. There's one for soda, you know, the toothpaste that has soda in it. It talks about a simpler time back a long time ago, you know, when life was easy and life was good. Has it ever dawned on you that God didn't put you there? He trusted you enough to let you be alive today. Not then, when things were easy. He trusted you enough to be alive in this day and time when things seem to be difficult. When things in our nation seem to be in a mess, He trusted you enough, the very gift of trust from God, that He lets you be alive today. What about the gift of caring for other people, of listening, of really hearing? What about the gift of seeing people and needs? What about the gift of touching, an arm around a shoulder when you don't know what to say? What about the gift of making someone know that someone really does care? Now be honest. While we're trying to find these gifts, and we're so busy looking for God's will in our life, what we should do, be honest enough to also find out who you are, because that's a gift. Self-discovery is a gift. Knowing who you are, not being like other people, but being you. And the fact that in Christ there is the freedom to be you. Freedom itself is a gift. You don't have to look like other people, act like other people. We tend to look at the gifts of others and decide, well, I'll never have those gifts. I'll never be able to star like they do, so all I can do is just sit in the pew and never do anything. I know a woman, I swear to you, and you know, she has taken every study course Southern Baptists have ever offered. Now, can you imagine that? You probably would want to go look at her just knowing that. You know, that probably upsets you a lot. She has taken every study course Southern Baptists have ever offered. You ought to see. In their church, they have one hall, just her certificates, you know, down the hall and back everything. She does not teach in any department. She does not, you know, do records in any department. She gives her time free to the church answering the phone. She says, I can't do these other things. Socially, I'm inept. She's taken all these things, supposedly hoping to get new training, and there are times when she says, all I can do is answer the phone. And every time I call that church and she answers the phone, I thank God for that gift. She maybe can't teach. Maybe she can't do the records, but she can answer the phone using the gift which is hers. Probably some of you are sitting here thinking about, you know, the passage of Scripture in the New Testament about the guy, you know, the talents are given to these various people. And one, you know, he gets 10 talents and another 8 and so on. And then there's this one guy who gets this one and he goes out and buries it, right? And you just wish you had one to bury, right? Some of you probably wish you had a shovel to go dig up one so you could take one home. I really don't understand our thinking at times about the gifts of God. We tend to look at other people and what they do and what they are and what they have and then compare ourselves. Instead of looking at ourselves in relationship to God and what He has given us, self-discovery is a gift also. And maybe many of us need, and I don't care how old we are, maybe many of us need to finally discover who we are. The gift of being me. And it's a continual process of learning. I went as a freshman to a Baptist college in the state of Missouri, Southwest Baptist College. Now, in high school, you can probably tell by knowing me, I have been a show-off all my life. You know, when I was three, I tap danced for the neighbors. I have always been a gregarious person. I had to be involved in things. So I go off to college, and the first thing that happens is that I sign up for private voice lessons. Well, in high school, I'd been president of the band and the glee club, and I'd played drums for, since I was sixth grade, and I'd sung in a quartet in high school, and I'd done all these. I knew I was great, Now, I had heard a tape recording once or twice where I was off key every time they tape recorded, but, I knew that I had. So I had these delusions of grandeur. I wanted also to be in drama, so I knew if I liked drama and I liked music, someday, then I can go be a Broadway star, I can have my own television show, or at least get a sing at the Southern Baptist Convention, something like that. So I signed up for these private voice lessons, and I go in the first day, and the teacher goes to the piano and plays these scales, and I sing, and I vocalize, and I go back the next week for the private voice lesson, and I walk in, and the teacher doesn't go to the piano and sit down and begin to play the scales. The teacher says, "Ed, would you sit down just a minute?" And the teacher stands up and puts a hand on my shoulder and said, "If you would go by the registrar's office, we have made arrangements for your funds for voice lessons to be given back to you." And then, with great compassion, the teacher said, "You just don't have a vocal instrument for solo work." The teacher hurriedly went on to say, "Why don't you take conducting and take some courses in music appreciation and maybe some composition, and maybe you could learn to use your music in some other way than performing." I went back to my room and I sat and looked at the wastebasket until about, 5 o'clock that evening. But you know something? What that teacher said to me was not really a revelation from that teacher. I had known for years that that was not really my gift. That was not what I ought to be pursuing and working on. It took somebody being honest with me for me to understand it and admit it to myself. Okay, so I got great courage. It took me about a week. I got great courage, and I went to the counseling service on campus. You been there? And you're supposed to go, if I can't do this in music, what can I do? So I go, and I take all these tests, and my favorite was the Cooter preference test. You ever taken it? You punch holes in paper with a pen, which always shows great intelligence to me. And I punch holes in paper, and then the two highest things on that for me were concern about persons and working with persons in social atmosphere and music, right back where I started. But they help you in the counseling service. They have these acetate overlays, and you put them together, and they fit together, and they recommend what you ought to do. And it recommended that I be a dancing instructor. So after the counseling service was so helpful to me, I began to talk to people, and I discovered Baptist Student Union. And I will be real honest with you, I was at the point in my life where I felt like I had no talents. So I decided to be a BSU director. During my college years, I went as a summer missionary to Oregon, Washington, sent by the students of my state. And during that summer, somebody gave me a chance to be an adult. They treated me like an adult. They trusted me. They let me do something. And I took over, and I took charge, and something happened. And I went back the next summer, and the next, and the next. And so it began to unfold what my gifts were. And I would say to you very honestly, every time I hear a song that I happen to have written the lyrics for, I thank God that way back there I discovered that singing wasn't my gift, and I discovered what my gifts are and began to try to use them. Now, the years have passed since then, and I'll be very honest with you to say there are still times. When I first started working in the National Student Ministries Department several years ago, I would go to conventions and retreats and to Glorieta and Ridgecrest, and I'd hear people speak. And I wished I could be that profound. And so I want to sound like them, you know. I wished I had a stained glass voice like most preachers, you know, so I could sound, you know. Somehow that's supposed to sound profound. And I finally decided, if God has given you gifts, the very person you are, why can't you be secure enough to be that person, to use those gifts being that person? Discover what your gifts are. The second thing I'd like to say is to recognize the opportunities that you have. Now, you be honest with yourself. I go to so many Baptist student unions, and somebody leads in prayer, especially since I'm there, see, from the home mission board. And somebody leads in prayer, and we pray that the Lord will give us some opportunities for mission witness in our area. That we will have some mission opportunities, and we pray for it. I don't know why we, you know, pray like that. We sometimes need to pray for intelligence. The opportunities are already there, and yet we spend much of our time looking for them. God has given us the gifts, and He's given us the opportunity to use them. There are some scriptures in 1 Timothy that Paul, speaking to Timothy, do not neglect the spiritual gift that is in you. And then in 2 Timothy, for this reason I remind you to keep alive the gift that God gave you. Maybe the gift we need to work on this week, just one gift we'll work on, is sensitivity. The gift of sensitivity. And any gift, whether it's intellect or sensitivity, needs to be helped along. God gives it to us, but He expects us to do the best we can. If He gives you gifts, He expects you to prepare the best you can to use those. The opportunities are here, there are persons here, and maybe we need to discover the dimension of the use of that gift. Jerry Buckner and I went to school at Southwest Missouri State at Springfield, Missouri. I came there from a Baptist college, got involved in Baptist Student Union, and Baptist Student Union really was active on the campus, the biggest religious group on campus, so we got the best place in line at registration. And people would come around the corner after they paid their money at the registrar's office. You know, you have no more money, and you turn the corner and hear all these chaplains. You know, you don't have any money, so you get counseling about what to do now that you have no money. They would turn the corner, and here was Baptist Student Union. Now, that year, Baptist Student Union was trying to enlist students a different way. We had a BSU kissing booth, which in my day and time was really progressive. Now, I'll tell you, it wasn't as exciting as it sounds, because what we did, we glued Hershey Kisses on cards and handed them to people. They'd been coming around that corner all morning, and I was working with this very attractive girl. She would talk to the fellas, and I'd talk to the girls. We'd tell them about Baptist Student Union. We would invite them to Baptist Student Union. You know, we'd tell them about church, etc. All of a sudden, around the corner comes this girl, unattractive. You know, she looked like she was from the country. And you weren't sure which country. She was unkempt, sort of tired looking. She came around the corner, and my spiel was, are you Baptist, Methodist, or otherwise? And when she answered, I discovered not only was she unattractive, unkempt, but she had a speech impediment. So I didn't even hear her answer. I passed her on down to the Methodist. I was a speech and drama major, and I had to work in a speech clinic. Guess who showed up for her appointment at 1 o'clock 2 days later at the speech clinic? Oh, Lonely Lil, the girl who had come through registration line. When we gave her the test, we discovered that she had a speech impediment that could have been corrected years ago if her small rural high school had had a speech clinician or someone to work with her. She was to come one day a week, and I was to work with her. I began to notice that her name appeared every day on the charts at the clinic. She wanted so much to learn to be a person, to speak, that she signed up on her own for 5 days a week. By the end of that quarter, if by speaking very clearly, you could understand every word she spoke. Sometime during that quarter, I discovered that she had pledged a sorority on campus. And a friend who was president of the sorority, who was a friend of Jerry's and mine, I said, what in the world did you pledge her for? She said, we have discovered that she has the highest academic record of any entering freshman student, and we wanted her to help raise the academic level of the sorority. And I felt very pious and condemned the sorority when I had passed her on to other people because she wasn't our kind of people. By spring, she was a very attractive girl. She'd gotten a job in one of the better stores for women adjacent to the campus. She, in the sorority, the girls had decided, well, she's with us, we got her, let's do something, help her improve. So they had helped her to know how to fix her hair. They had helped her even on knowing how to socially meet people, to feel comfortable in social groups, and by spring she was an attractive girl. And funny, about April, in the cards of preferences, we discovered her name as a Baptist preference. So as BSU president, I hand the card to somebody to go out to visit the girl at her sorority. When they go to her sorority, she comes down and she is very kind and gracious, but very cold. And she answers very simply, "When I needed you, you didn't need me. When you want me, I don't want you. Thank you." You know, we can talk all we want to this week about the gifts God has given us and the great things we're going to do in life. And we can pray for opportunities to use those gifts when we get back to the campus. What are you going to do with the gifts now? Somehow, I wonder if we'll ever do anything with the gifts God has given us when we get back to the campus if we don't use them this week. Celebrate your gifts this week. Be sensitive where you haven't been. That student is with your group that you cannot abide. The one that talks all the time and never stops. Sit down and listen. That student who's with your group who is so popular that you can't abide him either, because he's the leader of the group and you ran for the same office and he got it. Be sensitive to him. There's that girl in your group that you not only dated, but you were engaged to, and she broke off the engagement, but she still came with the group, and you can't abide her because she's always there and she reminds you of how you mistreated her. Build a bridge. Use a gift. Maybe the Baptist Student Union director on your campus doesn't have any talents in your mind, but he or she is a person. And maybe you need to use your gift in building bridges. I've always wondered what would happen back on the campuses if here community was built during student week for our local groups, and community that had a foundation that wouldn't let the petty things of life tear it apart. Would you bow your head? God's gift, our opportunity. What will you do with the gifts? What will you do with the opportunity? We're going to take time for you to pray silently, the prayer you need to pray. Christ we pray. Amen. Now in a moment or two, we're going to have a time of invitation, but we want it to be different. Not for the sake of being different, but because we feel you need to make some other kinds of commitments than maybe you've made before. When we sing the hymn, we want you to sit right where you are. Remain where you are. I want you to look around and find those people in this audience that maybe you need to go and say a word to say, "Hey, you've really helped my life." Or maybe you need to go and say, "I'm sorry." Maybe you need to go and just affirm another person. Maybe you're who you are because somebody else invested their gifts in you. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a director. Maybe it's somebody else in the group. And then maybe there are those of you who need to come and say, "I need some help for knowing who I am spiritually, for knowing how to share the Christian faith." And you would come, and Mr. Rozelle and people from the student department will be here. But we're going to ask Mr. Rozelle to remain seated and you to remain seated. And if you need to speak to someone, it's hard to get through those aisles to where they are, but you do it. Life isn't always easy.